welcome to another episode of Peace Be With You. I'm Pastor E.B. from Epiphany Lutheran Church in Bastrop, Texas, located on the Colorado River about 30 miles southeast of Austin. You can find our virtual home at epiphanybastrop.org. In the 2020 book, The Power of Ritual, author Caspar Turkile writes, "It may be helpful to think of the human longing that leads to religious culture as akin to music and the music industry, which has struggled mightily over the last 20 years with CD sales and free fall for much of the 2000s and 2010s, but our love for music still endures. The same thing is happening in our spiritual lives. Attendance at congregations is down, but our hunger for community and meaning remains." The author is right. Our hunger for community and meaning not only remains, it drives our search for inner peace and the hope that there has got to be more in life than the daily struggle with no end in sight. We live in a do-it-yourself world in which a do-it-yourself individualistic religion, such as Buddhism or Scientology, or an online spiritual fix through apps and social media, can help us find universal truth and even tap into the divine. There is a guy, well, I think it's a guy, who blogs anonymously, insofar as I can tell, and in the first person on the curious but aptly named Dynamite internet website. That's Dynamite with an O, not an A. The homepage gets right to the point with a question, wondering what to do with your life, followed by a suggestion to prioritize thusly. First priority, your physical health. Second priority, reasonable financial security. Third priority, good relationships with family and friends. After that, he says, you can do whatever. The game you're playing doesn't have any rules and there's no way to win. The content of this site is, at the very least, pragmatic, if pragmatic is defined as dealing with things sensibly and realistically in a way that is based on practical rather than theoretical, and I would add theological here, considerations. Yet there seems to be something missing in that introductory list of priorities. I would add a very important one at the top, your spiritual health. Without God in one's life, this guy's words ring true. After that, you can do whatever. The game you're playing doesn't have any rules and there's no way to win. Life without God drives us to contemplate self-purpose and the tragedy of human suffering. And ironically, if not poetically, life without God causes even the most pragmatic soul to search for answers, to find an explanation for the human condition from other humans. This is the nucleus of a paradox, a need for religion without an acknowledgement of the existence of God. The anonymous Dynamite blogger in another post writes, "You're pretty sure God doesn't exist, but you've read the literature. As far as you can tell, religion gives people longer, healthier, happier lives. You want in, but you don't want to accept what you see as irrational beliefs. So you try the alternatives. You go to some meetings of the Ethical Society, the Humanist Society, Sunday Assembly, and so on. There are some great people, but there are also a number of weirdos. You have a lot of new experiences trying to force a smile while someone you just met has a long one-way discussion about why private property is theft. You notice that the people you most want to connect with are also the most likely to stop showing up. After all, it's not like eternal damnation awaits anyone who quits. But the people you're less fond of seem to have fewer social alternatives and keep coming back every week. Eventually, you stop showing up yourself. But religion is good for you. Eventually, you pick a relatively relaxed, normal religion, complete with all the God stuff. You don't believe everything they say is literally true, but our reality is strange and inexplicable, so who knows? There's a great, stable community, and you talk about the broader themes of life, and you're healthier and happier." Human beings have both the need for identity and perhaps an even greater need to identify, to be included as part of a community. The theological term for this is communion. We humans are relational. We were intentionally created that way. But there are so many who are groping to find their way through the world, an uphill and unforgiving climb of empty promises and little hope of finding the truth about who we are, the absolute truth. We are in Holy Week right now on the Christian church calendar. Good Friday is only a few days away. That morning, little more than 2,000 years ago, Jewish chief priests delivered Jesus of Nazareth over to Roman governor Pontius Pilate. as an evildoer with a death sentence. That word evildoer likely had only one meaning for Pilate in the context of Roman law under which this Jesus had been charged. That's how his accusers intended Pilate to understand it. However, Jesus had not broken any Roman law, but rather had called himself the Son of God in the presence of the Jewish religious elite. In other words, Jesus was guilty of blasphemy. The Gospel of John records this exchange between Jesus and Pilate. Pilate, so you are a king? Jesus, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Pilate, what is truth? What is truth? This is a rhetorical question posed by a pagan skeptic, an educated Roman in an immoral world with little or no faith in his own gods, of which there were many in Jesus' day. As I look around, I see more than a few 21st century Pilates in my day. A 2016 poll conducted by the research organization Barna Group reveals growing concern about the moral condition of the nation, even as many American adults admit they are uncertain about how to determine right from wrong. So what do Americans believe? Is truth relative or absolute? Results show that 2/3 say truth is relative and about 1/3 say absolute. Well, I doubt Pilate meant what is absolute truth by his question to Jesus. I actually think Pilate had the same concept of truth as he did for the number 0, for which there is no Roman numeral. For the Roman governor and Jesus' Jewish accusers, the truth is held hostage by the zeitgeist, the spirit of the age, in which it's sought after. Absolute truth never changes. A circle is never a square. A banana is never a cherry. A man is never a woman. The created can never become the creator. We think times have changed considerably since Pilate questioned Jesus, but have they? Not so much. The truth is much harder to establish in today's world. We modern-day Pilates are still asking our gods and goddesses the same question, yet the answer has existed long before the question was ever asked. In such a dysfunctional and disordered world where trigger-happy news outlets and social media zealots are so quick to spread the truth as they see it, is it any wonder that the average American has less and less faith in government, news, and social media sources, not to mention God? The headlines are unnerving enough without being subjected to the actual stories behind them. Jesus, God himself, said, "Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And that voice is absolute truth. Unchanging, timeless, and dependable, a refuge from the churning sea of moral, ethical, and spiritual promiscuity in which so many are foundering without hope. God's word can right the ship and repair the sails, not to mention calm the seas. Jesus says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." What is truth? Well, Pilate was looking right at it in Jesus Christ and never saw it. And I certainly agree with the anonymous Dynamite blogger that life is better when we get our priorities straight. A healthy spiritual life, one that flows out of a healthy relationship with God, permeates every corner of the human experience, particularly in our relationships with each other, in quest for answers to the age-old existential questions that continue to plague those living or trying to live a life without God. Who am I? Why am I here? Where do I fit in? Does anyone really care about me? Does God really exist? What happens when we die? Well, no human can provide satisfactory answers, but God already has. While a life without God certainly does mean that the game you're playing doesn't have any rules and there's no way to win, a life with God means just the opposite, that the game you're playing does have rules and there's one way to win, through faith alone. How do we know this? Well, God said so. We have his word on it. This episode is part of our Peace Be With You podcast, brought to you by Epiphany Lutheran Church in Bastrop, Texas. To find out more about us, please visit us online at epiphanybastrop.org. You can reach us by email at peacebewithyoupodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, this is Pastor EB saying so long, and peace be with you.